The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
It is Friday night, the end of another week, and heading into the weekend. Hope it's a good one for you. Again, looking abroad, I don't see much to be optimistic about. This North Korea situation is fraught with danger. The comments made by Pence in a news conference today, Mattis, others, not good. We'll have to wait and see, but I don't think we're going to have to wait too much longer. Admiral, do you have tuberculosis, sir? Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Why would you think I have tuberculosis?
Was that not a cough?
No, it was a sneeze.
Oh, God. I got
the air conditioning running here. It's hotter than the dickens. It's 80 degrees in my house because it's 80 degrees outside. You folks up north, that's why I don't live in Chicago anymore.
Do you know, well, we'll get to our first guest who lives in Chicago in, about 10 minutes or so, but
yeah,
where I am...
Yeah, an hour ago, he finished shoveling snow.
It's what I saw that in email. And we're at 2,300 feet here, where I am, and it was damn near 70 degrees again today. It's like spring.
Wow.
We got no winter, none. And it's just bizarre. I don't know what to make of it. But last year we had a normal winter. Remember the dam in Northern California they were worried about, and the spillway gave way?
I remember.
All right. Well, that was last year. A lot of rain, kind of normal. The year before that and several before that, we were drought. Now we're back in a drought. It's like they throw a switch and this enormous high pressure sets up off the California, Oregon, Washington coast and blocks all of these storms that come out of Kamchatka and north of Japan and Korea. And they just fall apart. They never make it.
Yeah. So. Well, wait a minute, though. All that high pressure, isn't that caused by Nancy Pelosi speaking?
That too, that and HARP, yeah. Boy, yeah. What a windbag. Jeez.
Yeah. You know, she looks like she could be Jack Skellington's kid sister.
Now, there's a good analogy. That's true. Yeah, she's
just a mean, nasty woman. Anyhow, I'll keep politics out of that. My apologies.
She's getting creepier all the time.
Well, she's getting older, too. And some people are wondering if maybe she's not really a Disney automaton or whatever they call it.
Automaton.
Them. Yeah.
Or something. Anyway. A robot.
We got to watch ourselves or suddenly we'll be cut off the air.
Or worse. Now, Harry used to be, still is, but he was quite a mariner. The Mariner with the all-girl crew. It was like Lawrence Welk and his all-girl orchestra. Who had the all-girl orchestra? It wasn't Lawrence Welk.
No, it wasn't Lawrence Welk, but I remember reading about it way back in the old days.
Who was that? I'm going to look that up.
I can't remember. That was before my time, but I still don't. I heard about it, but I don't remember it.
And his all girl
orchestra.
I got it. Now, he must have been a psychologist, among other things, to have an all girl orchestra.
I don't know. You can ask Dr. Ellis when he comes on. He's a psychiatrist.
All girl orchestra. What would that have been, the 40s or 50s?
I think it was in the 40s. It was during the big band era, I think. I'm not sure.
Let's see. I'm sure I'll look this up now.
You know, anybody wants to correct us, send me an email at sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com and tell me when it is, and we'll pass that on to Jeff.
I'm going to find this. All-girl orchestra.
Oh, God, you're off on a quest.
Yeah, well, that's the internet. Wait a minute now. This isn't right.
And remember, if any of your listeners would like a free copy of our magazine, send an email to sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com and say they listened to us on the show tonight and they want a free copy sent electronically, and we'll send it out with no strings attached.
Very good. Very nice. All-girl bands of the 1940s. There were more than one?
Well...
This guy's name is Phil. What a weird name. Spit. S-P-I-T. A-I-N-Y. Phil Spitani, I guess.
Okay. And never heard of him.
Somebody has.
was in the 40s, you say?
Phil's 1940s program. Phil Spitani and his all-girl orchestra with Helen and... Wait a minute. Helen and what? Helen, just a minute. This will be worth the wait.
Okay.
Helen and her magic violin. For Sale is a vintage promotional program for Phil Spitani and his all-girl orchestra, featuring Evelyn, not Ellen, and her, they spelled it two different ways, and her magic violin. This well-illustrated 12-page booklet measures 12 by 9 inches and is in very good condition, with a pinch or a crease here or there, but da-da-da-da-da. Spitani was a musician, a music critic, a composer, a band leader. We got a lot of our members listening who remember these days. Heard often on the radio during the 30s and 40s. He rose to fame after he brought together an orchestra with only female musicians, a novelty at the time. On radio, Spitani was introduced as Phil Spitalny, and now they spelled his name differently. It's Spitalny.
Oh, well.
And
of
his all-girl...
during the radio days, how do you really know they were all girls? They might have had a lot of guys in there. You don't know, because radio, you can't see people.
Now it's the gender-bending orchestras. The magic violinist was Evelyn K. Klein, who used the professional name Evelyn Silverstone. She helped Spitalny find the women he needed to assemble, I'll bet she did, to assemble his all-female orchestra. Isn't a word for that, isn't there? Together they auditioned
You're doing fine.
Together they auditioned more than 1,000 musicians in New York, Chicago, Cleveland, Detroit, and Pittsburgh. Spitalny's 22-piece band was known as the Hour of Charm Orchestra.
My goodness.
During the time it appeared on the radio program, The Hour of Charm, hosted by, you're going to like this one, Arlene Francis.
Oh, my God, I remember Arlene Francis.
From What's My Line?
What's My Line, yeah. There was also Dorothy Kilgallen was on there, too, until she...
Got to know too much about JFK.
Yeah, she had all the proof on JFK's murder, and suddenly she thought she could fly. Went out the window of her 900-story...
Did they toss her? I thought they smothered her. I don't remember.
I thought she went out a window. Or maybe that was Irv Kupson's daughter.
Our Secretary of Defense, James Forrestal, went out the window.
Yes, right. I know that.
At Bethesda.
He was so happy he was getting released, he jumped out the window, just like Rudolf Hess was so happy they were finally going to let him go. He hanged himself, even though he was so crippled up with arthritis. He couldn't lift his arms above his waist.
It's an amazing feat of suicide.
He really wanted to die, didn't he? Some years ago, we ran an article in our magazine, and we named the SAS agents who helped him string the lamp cord over the beam, whether he liked it or not.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to commit suicide. No, sure you do. Just stick with us.
Poor guy. When he was alive, you knew that he knew too much.
Yeah.
all right, here. Since this is a musical program we're doing tonight, I just decided. This is Phil Spitalny's Hour of Charm All-Girl Orchestra with Evelyn and her magic violin. I know you wanted to hear this, so here. Are you ready?
Oh, God, yes.
They have a piano, too.
I was going to say, that's a hell of a sounding
violin.
Here's
the magic violin. That's pretty good, Evelyn.
Yeah, she is good.
Now, this woman's playing a trombone.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a violin either.
No, that's a sweet trombone, though.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Phil is walking amongst his harem, directing them.
For God's sake.
I got to see where they're going with this. They're going to somewhere.
Watch this.
Here we go. They have a harpist, too, you can tell.
I see that, yeah.
Oh, my God, they sing.
That's nice music, though. That reminds me of
I
the
don't
early
care.
Disney cartoons.
Right, it does. I don't care if I ever dream again. Oh, Phil's singing. All my dreams came true. Well, with a 22-piece all-girl orchestra.
Hey, I'll take you one step further back. In the 1920s, my grandfather played first violin with the Chicago Symphony.
Now, that's wild. Oh, no, wait, that's not Phil. Listen. Listen. That was not Phil. That's a woman. See, all-girl orchestra, there's a theme here. The all-girl orchestra, all Phil is doing is waving his arms.
Isn't that what conductors do?
That and captains.
Yeah.
See, Harry... Harry likes this because he had an all-girl crew once on his own sailboat. All-girl crew. Seriously.
Yep. Karen, Lynette, and Debbie. This is nice music, though. This is the kind of big band stuff they had going in the 20s and 30s. And like I say, that's the kind of music you got in the old Disney cartoons.
No more dreaming to do, Harry.
Well, those people are all dead.
Yeah, but they still play good music.
Yep.
All right, here's the end. Well done, Phil. Oh, let's...
I never heard of this outfit before. Now.
That was good. I'm sorry.
I'll
send you
Phil.
The link. I'm going to send you the link.
Okay.
I'm sure you'll play it many times. All right.
Well, I don't know about many times. I'll play it a couple of times. It's nice music.
Well, this is another...
At least you can understand what they're saying.
Nah.
It's it ain't
fun. It's just
hip-hop crap.
It's just
let's go
harmony.
Rip some hoes and let's go kill some cops. Who needs that crap?
That's not music. All right. Harry Cooper is the president, founder, commander-in-chief of SharkHunters.com. For those of you new to the program, this is... not necessarily all music. We're going to do a lot of other things tonight. Harry is truly one of the most remarkable people I've ever known. He is an honest-to-God historian, a researcher. He takes what he calls patrols of people to Europe, to South America, in search of evidence, hard immutable evidence of what really happened after World War II and during the war as well. He's going on a patrol, a southern patrol, as he calls it, soon. We'll be talking about that later tonight. The number of patrols you've done altogether, Harry, how many?
Oh, boy. One or two a year, every year since 1988.
Yeah. So the point
in
is...
In the U.S. up until about 2000, maybe 2001 or two was the last one we had in the U.S., but over in Germany, Austria, you know, into Poland, several into Russia, magnificent country. St. Petersburg is an incredibly beautiful city.
Yeah.
We took a small group down to South America some years ago. I'm thinking about doing that again. I've got one member who's really beaten me up to put together a tour to South America, but it's a lot more complex than Germany. Germany and Austria, like our Southern Patrol. Incidentally, it was my friend Hans-Georg Hess who gave us the term patrol. He was the youngest combat submarine commander. 4 months past his 21st birthday, they put him in command of a combat submarine. He won the Knight's Cross, and after the war became a doctor of law. Going over to Germany is relatively simple. We set up everything because we have friends over there, hotel owners, people who own tour bus companies, everything, and people who take us to the places we need to go. All we have to do is get to Munich, and I'm waiting there with the bus, and from then on we drive every place we need to go. Whereas in South America, I don't have the network like I have in Europe. I have a small group of people down there, good people, but only a small group. And we get to Buenos Aires, and there's places to see around Buenos Aires. But if we want to see where Hitler lived for 10 years after the war, we got to get on an airplane and fly 700 miles down to southern Patagonia. And that's also where German scientists built a nuclear research laboratory. They started 2 years after the end of the war. Or if we want to go up towards where Professor Kurt Tank came with 50 aeronautical engineers and started building airplanes for South American air forces, we have to take a plane 400 miles northwest to Cordoba province.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If we want to see where Mengele used to hide out in Horanau, Paraguay, we have to fly to Brazil, and then it's a whole lot more complex. I'd love it to be easy, but it ain't.
Right.
And it's not cheap either, because now Germany, Austria, for instance, once we get there, we go everywhere on the bus. Down in South America, you have to take a plane.
It's
from
too far.
Buenos Aires, yeah. to Bariloche, for instance, or to Cordova. We can take a bus, too. Believe me, the buses down there are not like the one you saw on Romancing the Stone with the pigs and chickens and all that.
Well, they're These like airliners, aren't they?
They are airliners, yeah. Without wings. One row of seats down one side, double seats on the other side. You roll out usually in the evening. You have a stewardess. She comes by with coffee or whatever you're drinking, and then you get your dinner served to you there. And then later in the evening, they bring you pillows and blankets. Your seat folds down. You go to sleep. You wake up the next morning. You've already told the stewardess what you want to drink. You wake up, and she's got the drinks ready for you, and then you have your breakfast. It's like an airliner, but it ain't cheap either. So it's a lot more complex. I think probably in 2019 we will probably put one together. I'm going down there myself this April to do some more groundwork. I'll be meeting with Lawrence DeMello, who is probably the number one expert in the world on Martin Bormann. And she located the house where Gestapo Mueller lived until he died, either in 2000, 2001, I can't remember which. And it has been locked up and left alone since he died. So it's a time capsule.
So what's
capsule.
In there, you know?
Yeah,
what's
we don't
in
know
there?
Yet, but yeah. She's tracked down the person who has the authority and the keys, and we're going to see if we can't get that person to let us in to take pictures. We don't touch anything. We're not grave robbers, but we take a lot of photos. And then I'll be going up to Brazil to pick up two friends, both doctors who are madly in love with each other. Dr. Franco is an optometrist, and doctora, you got to put an A on the end, Christina, mm-hmm. Christiane, I'm sorry. She's an OB-GYN, and they are incredible researchers. I won't even get into the main topic that they did, but they found this resort where Mengele used to hang out. And mm-hmm. when I was down there this last July, we went there, talked to a lady who said she saw Mengele there with Gestapo Müller, with Bormann and Hitler, and also Stroessner, who was the president of Paraguay at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So there are still people left who have seen these things and who have talked to these people. Gestapo Müller, several of his friends are still alive. We talked to one guy who knew him for 17 years. This guy was about 7'12". He was a huge guy. So I'm going to have to learn how to speak Spanish because I have to keep getting things translated.
These amazing stories. You see what we have for you on this program once a month? We should do it more often. Harry's going down there, and there'll be more than what he's even talking about. I have a hunch. Anyway.
I'm pretty sure.
There are some amazing things still down there, lots and lots and lots of them. And we have a chance to experience those, at least vicariously, on this program. And if you join Shark Hunters, you will have the keys to the kingdom. You'll find real history, real people, amazing stories. It's all there. And so many books and DVDs you can order. I think it's the most singularly remarkable historical society, and I'll call it that, on the planet. It's just, there's nothing else like it. You can watch these History Channel hunting Hitler things. Forget that. Half of it's crap. Half of it's stolen from Harry Cooper.
K-E-Y.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they stole your work and your contributors, your heroic contributors. And
that's what I'm
That's
told.
Another story. Yeah.
That's another story, yeah.
I can't prove it, but that's exactly what I've heard as well. So, okay. We're going to take a little break. We'll come right back, and we're going to dial up Larry in Chicago now, Larry the Snow Shoveler. And we'll find out more in just a few.
I used to do that. I don't miss it a doggone bit.
Can't imagine why. Back in a minute. Name that tune.
Putting on the Ritz. Putting on the Ritz. When
All right.
little girl first heard that years ago, when they get to the part where they're trying hard to look like Gary Cooper, she thought they were saying Harry Cooper, and she says, "That's my daddy they're talking about."
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah,
that's
she's a great kid. She's about to turn 27. She's got her master's degree.
Jeez.
Doing really well, thank God.
I remember when she was 21.
My wife said she's going to listen in tonight, first time in 5 years. I've been on your show for 5 years every month, and finally she's going to listen.
Wow. Well, how nice. I remember when she was 21.
Oh, well.
Okay. Now, there's a tour coming up. It's the Southern Patrol, and there are still some seats left. It's going to be the last one that Harry is planning. This is an historic event. It's an opportunity for you. So we'll talk more about that. But let's ask you to introduce our first special guest, Larry Kagan, please.
Larry Kagan is a retired sergeant major from the Army. He's also a government employee retiring there. He's been on several patrols with us, and he's one of the most vocal supporters we have. Larry's a great guy. Larry, are you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear
we
you
got
fine.
You loud and clear, Larry. Thanks. Thanks for waiting. How was the shoveling today? Were you doing community service, helping neighbors, or what?
Well, it seems like that. I actually live from Park Ridge, just outside Chicago. We have two famous people from Park Ridge that you've heard of. One is Hillary Clinton, and the other is Harrison Ford.
I'm sorry, Hillary who?
Yeah, that's what we say, Hillary.
Let's not forget Tony Accardo used to live there.
Well, we've had some, all sorts of people. I think we also had Karen Black lived out there, a famous actress. So we're just outside Chicago, and it's a great place to live. And that's correct. Today I was out there shoveling. It's great for your Fitbit. Where else can you get 2,000 steps and 20 minutes and not even think about it? So it was fun.
Walking to my air conditioner and turning it on. That's my exercise for now.
All right. Larry, you're a little bit muffled. Get a little closer to the phone. Let's see if it cleans up any.
Okay, I'm right here. Can you hear me?
That's better. Stay right on there. And we're going to have Todd. We're going to equalize the upper registers, as they say in the business, and make it a little sharper yet. But you sound, we can understand you just fine. It's just that snow you got in your throat today. It's a little stuck there.
No, it's going to have some more, too. So we're just going to, one of the benefits we have out here in Chicago, living in four seasons.
That's true. I've heard
Larry's
that.
Larry's phone always has that echo in it. I don't know what it is. I think you got to pay extra to get the echo in your phone.
It's just snow on the wires, Larry.
Is that what it is?
Someone
okay.
Cell phones are instruments of the devil, so that's the way it is.
All right. Now, if we get right up next to that phone even more a little bit, Larry.
Yeah, okay, I might hear.
All right.
Getting closer, I'll be right into it.
Okay. Now, tell us about the tour you went on with Admiral Cooper. When was it? And was it a Southern Patrol? Was it a Northern Patrol? What was it?
It was a Northern Patrol. We went to the northern scenes of Germany. We went all the way up to into Kuzkin, Poland. We went to Berlin. We went to Kiel. We went to where the Luftwaffe, can't think of the name of the city. You got to help me out there, Harry, where the Luftwaffe Museum was.
Where is the Luftwaffe Museum, Harry? What city?
There are several of them, but the one we went to was it was a small town just north of Hanover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was it, by Hanover, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the town, but it was really nice. They got ME-109, they got a Focke Wulf FW-190, they got all sorts of stuff in there. It's a private-owned museum owned by a guy who owns a huge, big trucking company in Germany.
Oh, neat.
Right, we went in Hamburg to the Time Museum, which I think is worth a trip in itself, if you recall, seeing all the historic things at the Time Museum.
Peter Tam is an interesting, if I can interrupt a second here. Peter Tam owns his own private museum. He's one of the wealthiest guys in Germany. He owns a publishing company, et cetera. And most museums have an acquisition board, and they have a budget. Peter Tam has a checkbook. Whatever he wants, he just writes a check for it. He's got the four admiral staffs from the from the German Navy. You know, the Admiral Dönitz carried that stick in his hand there, et cetera. Huh. He's got uniforms, and he bought a patrol boat from the East German Navy, and he put it up in the yard outside, and the West German government, this is back when they were divided, came by and said, you're not allowed to have that. Otherwise, we fine you. And he pulls out the checkbook and says, okay, how much? He's got
funny.
A periscope from a submarine in his garage that he can look out over the, he's right on the Elbe River.
Oh, he actually has it set up so he can use it. That's fun. That's fun.
Hey, you know what was amazing about that museum we were at, Harry?
Hmm.
the way they asked us for admission after we were done. I remember that. Remember? They said, there's the tip jar. They said, here's the tip jar after we got, they gave us the great tour.
The tip jar.
You know?
Right, yeah. They call that the spenda, S-P-E-N-D-E. It's a tip jar. Now, Peter Tam was a member of Shark Hunters. We brought over a U.S. Navy captain's uniform with all the medals and ribbons from World War II and donated that to his museum. We've been there a couple of times. Haven't been there in a while because he's had some shakeups. He and, of course, Bredo, who's now dead, were going to go together. Bredo started the U-boat archive, which is an incredible archive over there in North Germany. And the two of them went together. They leased out 15,000 square meters of warehouse space in Hamburg. They were going to put up a huge big museum, archive, etc. And then the snowflakes there in Hamburg says, yeah, you can put up all the exhibits you want with peacetime ships and stuff, but warships and stuff, no, can't have it here because we can't talk about the war.
Man, that is a real brain disease.
He's got some priceless stuff there. And the hotel, you see that ship hanging there in the foyer, the first picture.
By the way, for all of you out there, next to Larry's name, you'll see photos, pictures, in guests. Please load that page up if you already haven't. Photos by Larry Kagan. And Harry's talking about the first one under the photo of Larry. It's a beautiful ship. What is the deal with that? That's a model.
Well, that's in Peter Tam's museum, what he was using at the time. I don't think it's there anymore. But that had been a really upscale, high-buck hotel from years and years ago. Hermann Göring stayed there. The Crown Prince stayed there. And, it was not your Motel 6, that's for sure. Whenever he saw something he wanted, he just bought the thing.
Well, he's a nice guy
now,
to know.
If I could add something here right now, gentlemen.
Please, go ahead, Larry.
This is all the reason why you want to come on a trip with us, is because if anybody goes to Germany or any of these places on their own, you're not going to see these places. It's just humanly impossible. You're not going to know where they are. You're not going to be, you're going to be told, well, we don't know who you are. I want to say one thing about going on Harry's trips is that there's no waiting in line. There's no, I'm sorry, we can't let you in. Everybody lets you in. Everybody treats you like your family. Everybody can't wait to talk to you, and they appreciate it for the most part that you've come there. To see them and their museum and their history. You're not going to find this anywhere else. You can go there on your own. You could try to say, I'm going to save a few bucks, go on my own. Well, you're going to be missing everything, as all I wanted to say. You're not going to see these things. It's just not going to happen.
You're describing a trip of a lifetime here, experientially.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, yeah, the trip's expensive. It's not for everybody. But
no, it's not expensive.
Harry keeps the price down.
I'm just talking like the average Joe out there. Whatever. It is what it is, gentlemen, okay?
What is the date? Larry, let me tell our listeners who may want to go. There's still some openings. What is the date of the Southern Patrol, Harry?
It starts the last Saturday in September and runs for 2 weeks.
Okay. All right. You all have time.
September 29th through October 13th.
There you go. And the cost is $3,885. Unless you're a member of Shark Hunters, then you knock $200 off the price.
It is a trip that will change the way you see history and the world we live in today.
We have a lot of fun. We have a lot of people the same interest as the history. So people get along really well on our tours. Once in a while, we have a pain in the neck, and one guy I had to send him home early, but that rarely happens. People who were enemies trying to kill each other come on our patrols, and they meet the guy they were trying to kill, figuratively.
Right.
And they become buddies. When we had our first one, This was Key Largo, because in February, because I needed to get out of Chicago in the wintertime. And I used to drink in those days, and I'm sitting there, pina colada after pina colada. And on my right was Captain Hess, and on my left was an American gunner, whose name always escapes me, from a destroyer. And they were talking across my face. And Hess, you know, they're asking, well, what was your patrol area? Well, that's my patrol area. When were you there? No, that's when I was there. And then Hess says, the number on your destroyer was such and such. And the American gunner says, yeah, how'd you know that? He says, on such and such a day, I fired two torpedoes at you, but somebody must have seen us because your destroyer turned and I missed. And the American guy, he says, yeah. And he named the lookout. And then he got kind of a little arrogant. He said, so you missed, Captain. What do you think about that? And Hess slammed his big fist down on the bar. He says, well, I'm glad we missed. We have more time for beer now. And they became best buddies.
Oh, what a story. What a story.
Now, Ray Lankheim, that was the American's name. Unfortunately, their friendship didn't last. Ray lived in Pompano Beach, I think it was. He got into an argument with his next-door neighbor over the fence line. His neighbor pulled out a gun and shot him dead.
All right, Larry, what were you going to say, Larry?
I was going to say these trips sometimes do get emotional. The last trip I was on with Harry, we had this gentleman on the trip who reminded every single German that his father was killed in the war, remember? That he was on in the Merchant Marine. It does get emotional. This war affected everybody's life, you know, our grandparents, parents. Mm-hmm. The way we live, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it does get sometimes a little tense, and, you know, it's just, you know, for the most part, we're just there to learn, listen.
Yeah.
And I want to say Harry does a damn good job trying to keep everybody together at times. I think he's way too kind, because if somebody gets online with me, I tell him, there's the bus, buddy. You leave. Nobody's going to talk to me with this. He does. I mean, that's my one complaint about Harry. People take advantage of him, you know. Harry's the kind of guy. And a trip like this, not everything's going to go right. Okay, it's just going to happen. I got orange jelly one morning instead of strawberry, or sometimes we didn't have enough food. Harry pays for this up front, and we try to work it out. But if there's one or two people get upset, I would say, you know what, why don't you just get out of here? But not Harry. He'll go all his way to make it up and then some.
Larry's the enforcer. I get it.
You're damn right. And nothing too. I've been on trips with other organizations that do historical trips. I'm not going to mention the ship, but I'll give you a hint. It hit the iceberg. And while everything worked out for the most part, whenever there was a problem, the tour guide said, hey, you know what? It's not my fault. Well, of course, you know, well, whose fault is it? You know, when something didn't go right. Gary will tell you if there's a problem, he'll take care of it. He'll refund your money. He'll give you five times what it's worth. And he does go out of his way to make sure this trip works for everybody. And this trip is just not for military historians. I took my first wife on the trip, who unfortunately passed away, and I had to give her a whole lesson. This was World War One. This is World War Two. Uh-huh. I thought we fought the Japanese. Why are we fighting the Germans now? But that was World War One. Well, it was World War I and World War Two, so you had to go through that. But for the most part, it's a trip that you could take your wife on to, and anybody could go. You don't have to be a military historian. And if I could offer, like, a thing that happened to give you an idea, I took my wife for our anniversary to see Hamilton, okay?
Yeah.
To play here in Chicago.
Yeah.
And one of the major scenes of the play was the Battle of Yorktown, okay, where Hamilton fought and helped win the Revolution, okay? So we went this past summer to the Yorktown battlefield, and if you've ever been there, you could probably see the whole thing in 3 or 4 hours. And my wife and I spent 2 full days there on the Yorktown battlefield because she wanted to see it, because once you saw this play and you saw the importance of Alexander Hamilton was there, you want to say, well, what exactly happened? I want to learn all about it. That's what this trip will do. You could read all the books. You could watch all the movies. But when you're there experiencing what actually happened, okay, you have a sense of history. This might be the last time you ever see something like this. You'll live on it forever. And I think that's one of the highlights of the trip that you can never forget.
What a wonderful endorsement. Larry, let's go through your pictures, if we can, real quickly. We've got about 6 minutes here. And the second picture is a group of sailors, and there's some autographs on the picture, it looks like. Tell us what's that's that about.
Well, what happens is that often we're able to, that particular picture was taken, I think, at a reunion. We went to a few U-boat museums, and that may have been from the TAM Museum, where they kind of get the survivors. There weren't that many survivors after the war, and they had party, and they would have like reunions, parties, and they all signed ships that they remembered each other. And also another thing, too, when you go on these shark hunters trips, though there's not many captains left, you can also, if you have, I saw people bring books and pictures of these guys. They will sign them for you, too. So often,
nice.
These guys were, you know, 90s and 100s, not exactly guys hunting for autographs, but mm-hmm. people, you know, mm-hmm. here, I'm here to sign autographs, but everybody will sign for you. Everybody's real nice about it. You know,
that's really
nice. That was a union picture. Yeah.
These are high class people, what you're saying. The next picture is a painting of someone with a Knight's Cross holding a little baton. Who is this?
I believe that's Admiral Dönitz.
That's Dönitz. Okay.
Yes, that was, I think, from the TAM Museum, too. As you mentioned, Peter Tam had an enormous amount of money and was able to literally buy everything. In fact, it's just not Germans there. He had Admiral Lord Mountbatten's uniform there, too.
Wow.
He even had the Kaiser's uniform and the Kaiser's son, the prince, who was, I think,
correct.
Who died.
What a museum.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Now, like I'm saying, Jeff and Harry could say, if you try to go there alone,
no.
First off, how are you going to even get in there? Okay? They're not going to let you in.
This is fantastic.
So
yeah.
Well, Peter Tam was a member of Shark Hunters.
Yeah, I don't get any better.
One of the benefits of an organization like this is where else are you going to be able to see stuff and, you know, be actually looking at things of historical importance that you'll find nowhere else, you will never see anywhere else.
Right.
I'm a big fan of wristwatches, and the wristwatches they had, I was like, how can I get one of those, you know?
Oh.
Another thing, too, I wanted to point out that they had was a large collection of Admiral Nelson, who, as the British Admiral,
no kidding,
who died. They had a whole bunch of collectibles. After he died, there was a whole, I read about this in an antique magazine in 1804. They had a whole bunch of, like, figurines, whatever, pictures of him, as in pictures of water and everything of him, that they say that were rare, you couldn't find anymore from the 1940s. And here, Peter Tam had them all. I'm like, Jesus, how do you get these, you know? These things have been around for 100 years, you know?
Wow.
So you're going to see stuff, and I would never thought I would see something like that in my lifetime. I kind of said, how can I get one of those, you know? But there's somebody watching. Don't worry. Don't get any ideas. But
I get it. You're standing face-to-face with another epoch of history. It's amazing. Now, you got another picture here of... Okay, you got four or five uniforms, and it looks like they're behind glass, maybe. I'm not sure.
They're behind bulletproof glass.
Right. Right. Those are some of the uniforms you see that he also of the young Kaiser's kid, the uniforms. The Kaiser always called it his Navy, if you recall. Okay. He was pretty much a Navy guy, but very much so mm-hmm. with the rest of his other cousins. So he pretty much loved his Navy. Only sent him to battle once during the Jutland, but for the most part, he loved his Navy and he loved uniforms.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now we got another strange item behind glass. It looks like a barracuda with sails on it. A fish.
Some sort of fantasy. Yeah, that's some sort of fantasy picture, I guess. I wasn't sure. I thought it was unusual. I think I saw a movie like that once with Douglas Fairbanks Sr. Wasn't there something like that? But for the most part, this was a fantasy boat of us. All the early submarines they thought would be with, you know, or whatever.
That's quite a fantasy, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, now we go outside, and there's a deck gun of some kind mounted outside.
Look to the left. There's the periscope sticking up out of his garage.
Oh, look at that.
Yes, that's an amazing museum. Now, you think most people don't have these kind of exhibits in their backyards. I think it'd be a little not enough land.
Is he still alive, Harry?
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
Wow.
You'll see, if you look way in the back, you'll see me up by a 16-inch shell. Okay.
Yep, Larry in the back.
Way in the back, and you'll see those are the same shells that are as big as a Volkswagen that was used by the Iowa-class battleships during the 1991 Desert Storm. So,
God, those are huge. Bigger than a man. Wow.
They're pretty big.
Yeah.
When they hit you.
Yeah, especially if they go off. Now the next picture, Larry. I don't mean to rush, but we've got to wrap this in a second or two. It's a black building. What is that? Black colored building.
That was Silow and Hohen, I believe, in Poland, in Russia. I'm trying to think, Poland or I think it was in
It was on the German side of the river, on the Oder River. That's a museum for the Battle of Seelo Heights.
See, right. Which was an amazing place to see. And, Harry, I want to dig you on that one. You know, Harry tries to do so much during these trips. It's humanly impossible. We barely scratched the surface of going through this trip. And here we have something historical. You watch, you know, how the Germans fought off the Russians. This was a major battle. And Harry says, okay, everybody on the bus. And let me tell you this. When Harry says, get on the bus, he means get on the bus. You better be on it or you're going to walk back. You know,
too
that's
funny.
He's trying to cover way too much, not enough time. But you know what? There's nothing that says you can't go back and see it all again. At least you know where it's at.
Well, and except in this case, we're talking about the last Southern patrol. So yeah. We got one more image in your pictures. It shows a U-boat in front of a cross. What's the story on that?
I think this was a small German boat that was built. Oh, okay, I know what that is. That was the gift shop. That was like, we went to the officer's mess, and they sold us nothing, too. Here's another Shark Hunter's bonus. We went into the U-boat mess, and we bought a whole bunch of souvenirs. And this is, you're not going to find any souvenirs in any souvenir shop or nothing, where they sell stuff, books or whatever. So I picked that up. I think there were also like little tie pins they sold with the same. That was their logo, basically.
Right.
You could buy. And I remember we were in Kiel when this happened. It was raining, and they brought out the food and beverages, and was like, boy, this is great. Let's not go outside and see anything. Let's just stay here all day.
We eat well.
Yeah, that's not what you're going to get in this trip. You're going to get a lot of fringe benefits you never thought was possible.
Well, you've made it very clear, Larry, that this is everything that we've been talking about on this program for 5 years. It's a once-in-a-lifetime treat, an opportunity, a real gift of being alive on this planet to see these things. Larry, thank you very much for staying up and being with us.
Thank you. Anytime.
No, we enjoyed it. Take care.
Thank Have you, a great man. Evening, Larry.
Good night, John.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen. Good night.
You
Good
bet.
Night.
Larry Kagan. Now, Harry, just we got to take a break here, but we'll come back. We have two more special guests tonight. That was really fun.
Larry's a fun guy.
Well, you get the idea. This is something. If any of you listening out there have the time, this September, contact sharkhunters.net and go there and look.
Sharkhunters.com.
And where do I always get net? Because that's Earth.
I don't know.
God, no. So I get confused. My email was out for 10 hours a day, and I was fighting with earthlink.net all day. That's what
I know. That's why we're getting off of Earthlink. We've got our new sharkhunters at sharkhunters.com is our
Very
new
good.
Email address.
Very good. Okay. All right. We'll be right back with more in just a few minutes.